Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Maserati coming to you from an increasingly louder fan fest here on Canal Street, right down the street from the Boston Garden. We got you covered up until 7 o'clock for Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame, and then, of course, the game here, finally, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. You'll hear it here on your exclusive home for the Boston Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub with Judd Surratt and Bob Pierce, who joins us now from the Boston Sports Grill. Hi, Bobby.
It's about time.
It's
ready
about
to go.
Time.
Yeah, you get that right.
Good Lord. How do you see this series, Bobby? What interests you most about this series?
Physicality. I think both teams are very physical teams. Both teams don't mind playing that type of game. So I think that you'll see a lot of that, especially early on. Actually, you'll see it throughout the entire series. But the thing that kind of separates these two teams as well is they do it kind of within the rules, if that makes any sense. They're the least penalized teams in the league during the playoffs. St. Louis is the least penalized team. They average, 6.4 minutes a game. The Bruins, 6.3 minutes a game. So they're or vice versa.
The other way.
So they're relatively even that way. So they play hard, they play smart, they play disciplined. So you'll see a lot of that physical play, and it comes in different varieties, right? It's not just the big hit that you see somebody laid out, and it's a lot of battles along boards, you know, taking away a lot of the time and space. And both teams are going to play in your face hockey. That's the way that they want to play in order to be successful.
So if there are fewer penalties, doesn't that play to the Blues? I mean, don't the Bruins want penalties?
I mean, they love their power play. I think it's a distinct advantage for the Bruins, you know, at least coming into the series. Now, does it translate into the last round? I don't know. But through the first three rounds, certainly the power play has separated them from other teams. But their 5-on-5 is very similar to the Blues in terms of goals for, goals against, differential. So, you know, that part of the game for them, I think the Bruins are comfortable playing either way, 5-on-5 or power plays. But if they do get more power plays, certainly it is going to play to their advantage.
What team has more skill, Bobby?
I think the Bruins have a little more skill in that department. I think that their top-end guys are probably better as a group, you know, especially the top line, that Krejci, that unit, than maybe what St. Louis has at the top. And it's not to take anything away from the Blues, because they do have some very good players up there. Schwartz having a great playoff. Tarasenko has a 6-game point streak coming into this one, so he's finally started to pick it up. And they have other guys as well up front that can do the job. But I think if you look at skill level, I would give a little advantage to the Bruins in that department. And then you look at size, St. Louis has the advantage in that department. They're deer big, and they can move. They're
huge.
Mobile. They're mobile, and they can move the puck. They can get involved in the play. They can be physical. That's going to be a real important area for the Bruins in this series. The forwards for the Bruins, being able to get inside and get in front of the net or in the slot area and get those types of chances, you know, from areas where you have to pay the price a little bit more to get there. And then the Bruins' ability defensively, the defensemen specifically for Boston, their ability to go back on pucks, because you know St. Louis is coming. They want to get in on the forecheck and finish every hit, get back on pucks, and make good plays coming up the ice.
So you are now the second person today, along with Eddie Olczyk, who has told us about the mobility of the Blues defensemen. And the way I had heard it was, you know, that maybe you got to get them to move laterally in their own zone a little bit, side to side. Is that a different thing?
I guess partially, but I think with the Bruins, the way that they attack and the way they get five-man units involved in the offensive end, make the Blues defend back there and get them moving a little bit. It's kind of a man-on-man D, but a little variation of it. They'll hand off guys here and there as well. So, you know, they don't want to be having defensemen chasing up by the blue line. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that department. But that's an area that the Bruins have been able to exploit. They got better in the Toronto series. They were good against Columbus. They were very good against Carolina. Yeah, they're very good against Carolina in that department. So that's an area that they'll try to get them moving side to side, whatever. But it's you want to make teams defend as a five-man unit. So, you know, you want to have their forwards trying to help out in those areas, and I think that's where some of the confusion kind of sets in.
Bob Beers here from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Rank, please, in order.
Every series you want me to do.
Yep. And we won't let the Bruins hear this. This is just us talking, okay? It's just us girls talking.
All right.
The top,
yeah, go ahead.
The top four defensemen here in the series.
Oh, top four defensemen?
Who's number one?
I'll go McAvoy in that department.
Oh,
yeah.
You chickened out.
I will. I'll go McAvoy.
You chickened out.
And then second and third, we'll throw in Pietrangelo and Parayko.
So you go still put Pietrangelo over Parayko?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Just experience-wise. I mean, Pareko's got a lot of experience, too, but Pietrangelo has a little bit more. And I think that his play this year, his leadership this year, and what he's been able to do for that team has been really important for them. Pareko's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Why do you have McAvoy number one?
I think he's got the ability to make a big difference for the Bruins back there. And, you know, I like the way that he's played, especially lately. Well, he's a Bruin, too, so.
Same, exactly.
Is he the most complete?
I'll admit it.
I was hoping to avoid that.
Said the same thing.
But, Bob, is he the most complete defenseman in the series? Assuming they all play at their peak.
Pietrangelo and Parayko are pretty complete. They really are. They're pretty complete. Parayko plays more or less the top power play unit. Pietrangelo plays the second power play unit. Parayko's got a bigger shot. He's probably a little bit better offensively polished than maybe a McAvoy is in that department, but... I think McAvoy can do a few other things, maybe a little bit of a better player in certain situations, maybe handling the puck than Parayko is.
Okay, so. Bob Beers again. We'll have the call here with Judd Surratt. 8:23 start. Did I hear that?
Uh-huh.
8:23.
Hey, the alternative is not to be playing right now, so no complaints right now.
What are we doing from now? The thing that really bugs me now is the 8 to 8. What are we doing from 8 to 8:23?
What am I doing?
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm in the pregame show, so
yeah, but the pregame goes from 7 to 8. This is the whole thing. From
my pregame show is 7:30 to 8:23.
How long is that big fella going to drag out the anthem to go from 8 to 8:23?
Well, it's only one anthem, though, so that's a good thing.
Right. Yeah, what's wrong with 8:05 is the point, but anyway.
All right, Beersy, the layoff, it's the standard question. Yeah. I mean, I said this last hour. Don't tell me that for 10, 11 straight days, the Bruins are going to be asked about this layoff for 11. How's the layoff going to be? What's the layoff? How are you going to survive the layoff? What's it going to be like at the layoff? Every day, 10 times a day, about the layoff, and then come out after the layoff and suck. Like, something tells me that that it's just been drilled into you so much.
Yeah. I don't think there's no way to simulate game action in those 11 days. No matter how hard you try. You try to do a scrimmage Thursday night, it's still not the same. You know, you try to get into the routine, the game day routine, have the night game, and you know, get into the nap in the afternoon, everything else. That's the routine that the players are used to. You shut that down 11 days ago. So that was the reason, mostly for the scrimmage, and try to get some game action in. But there's no way you can simulate playoff hockey. So until you get back out on the ice and do it, and Rask is going to be challenged in that department. He hasn't seen a meaningful game in front of him, a meaningful shot on him in 11, 12 days. He says they're all saying all the right things, but I expect it.
Bigger impact on the skaters or the goalie?
I've never been through it. I don't know. They've never been through this
in
long 90? Of a layoff.
Weren't you?
Not this long of a layoff. I broke my leg in the fourth game, so I didn't sit out.
I forgot all that.
Yeah, so I wasn't in the final because I broke my leg in the conference final, the clinching game against Washington.
There
so
you go.
I've actually
you
never
guys
been through
swept
this.
Washington that year.
Four games, yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I had no idea what the team did between that and the first game.
You were out.
I had a broken femur.
I mean, I just keep. Amonte tells me the skaters are the ones that can't avoid it. He's
the rust, the hands, you know, the puck movement. I mean, get your legs into it. Get a hit. Get a hit early. Feel the puck early. Do as best you can that way and warm up. Get yourself fired up. But the adrenaline's going to be flowing so much. I don't know if the hands are going to follow right away. It might take a little while.
How'd you feel about the scrimmage that they had?
I didn't mind. You're trying different ways. How many times do you go out and just practice? You needed something. And like I said, it was about routine there. Players get used to a routine. You know, you get up in the morning, you go to a morning skate. Whether you skate or not, you go through your routine in the morning, doing your sticks, doing your stretches, go through your meetings. That's what they did in the morning that day. Get your pregame meal, go home, take a nap, come back to the rink, get prepared to play a game like it's a regular game. That was the whole idea about that. And then you get into some game situations. So I had no problem with it. No problem. You got to try creative things to stay sharp.
While we're on that topic, where are you on the Marchand is fine meter? Is he fine or did something happen in that game?
Oh, I think he's fine. I watched him after that happened, I watched him the rest of the game. He looked great. So, I mean, I didn't see anything there at all. And, you know, he's back on the ice after that. I mean,
well, what was the maintenance day yesterday?
I wanted a day off.
He just didn't feel like practicing.
I don't know. I don't know. They don't,
just felt like an odd day to take a day off.
Hey, maybe he's got a couple days. Maybe his hand's bugging him. Is that what you're getting at?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Mike, listen, you can get hurt just as easily in practice. Almost had my eye taken out in a practice. All right? Tuukka Rask got concussed in a practice. I mean, you can go up and down the line. You can get hurt in practice. Freak injuries happen. It's nothing that you can avoid. So if it happens in practice, I mean, Bergeron missed the first couple weeks of the season a couple years ago because he got hurt the last practice day before the regular season started. I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, there's no way to avoid that type of
stuff. You rip somebody for it.
So rip Connor. I mean, that's
what we're and just give me the quick version. What happened with your eye? Was it a stick or a puck?
Puck. Running a power play drill. Guy tried to ice the puck. I was pinching down the board. Puck went straight up into my eye. I missed the first 25 games of the season.
Well, I was
after the lockout year, and we were practicing, getting ready for it was a 48-game schedule. I missed the first 20 games of that 48-game schedule.
Well, you had a lot of bad luck, Piercy. Seriously, though.
Who was it? Who did it to you?
Ziggy Palfy.
Ziggy? Oh. You know what? I always hated that guy, Bob.
All right, Bob, how do you see this thing playing out?
Long, tough, hard-nosed series.
Tractor pull, right?
In some instances, yeah. And you know, you're just going to see a lot of battles, for lack of a better word. It's going to be big boy hockey. It's going to be actually a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be big, physical, strong on pucks. You know, no team willing to give an inch. Kind of like Columbus was early in the series. Columbus didn't have the depth that St. Louis has. They weren't playing their fourth line. They weren't playing their sixth defenseman hardly at all. St. Louis will play everybody. Their fourth line is very similar to the Bruins' fourth line. I even hesitate to call them a fourth line because they'll play more than, you know, the third line wingers play. So they use their fourth line much like Bruce Cassidy and his staff use the Corrali line. And you'll see a lot of them. They're going to be physical every time, you know, every chance they get.
Okay, Bob, we look forward to the call tonight, you and Judd Surratt.
Looking forward to it.
Okay,
nice, enjoy it, Bob.
And be in Thanks. Touch, you know, be in touch this whole run here. We'll see
Absolutely.
A lot of you, hopefully.
Awesome.
Okay, lucky Bobby. You, see a lot of us.
All right, folks, you want to join us?
Now's Start ranking chance. Players again.
617-779-0095. You want to weigh in? Do it now. We'll talk to you after the break.
It's Felger and Mass, the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, sponsored by Bud Light on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's Felger and Mass from the Star Market Booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals. The only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right of the net, Nordstrom shoots. He scores!
I like playing with Sean. He's obviously really, really fast, and I think we kind of play the same way. Been really supportive for each other all over the ice and been able to get on some pucks on the forecheck and creating chances off that.
Achari nudges it to Corrali. He'll carry it himself over the line, high slot to the far circle. Fires! He scores!
Bergie and Gretch and Z and Marshy. They've been there before, and they've brought us right along and made us feel like we're just as big a part of this as anybody else. And I think the biggest thing is just looking to them and learning from them and following their lead is something that's been pretty easy to do.
Right circle, Johansson fires, he scores!
This time of year, as long as the team's winning, I think anyone would feel good. Couldn't care less about who scores and who does what. As long as we get it done together, that's the main thing, and I think that's one of the strengths of this team, that we have 20 guys that can do it.
Here's Johansson. They'll flip it out to center ice, glove by Heine. One on two. Carries it over the line. Near circle, Johansson fires, deflect, and they score!
It's going to be special. It has been special. We've done a great job so far, so I just want to try to keep being just one piece of the puzzle for this team. And
George, look at some of the role players there. You heard from Nordstrom, Johansson, Coyle. All those guys been a big factor for this team so far. To your calls again, 617-779-0985. Andy and Bill Ricca on Tuukka Rask. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Pleasure talking to you. Hey, two things I wanted to say. I just wanted to mention Tuukka, the gentleman you had on earlier who was talking about his unbelievable skating
Kevin
skills
Weeks.
Right now, which was dead on. I haven't been able to put my finger on why he's so good. Definitely one of the reasons. The other is his attitude. I mean, when he gets up a goal right now and they're minimal, he just shakes it right off. It's like he doesn't give a bleep, if you know what I mean. And I think that's really important.
So there's no question. Yeah, Andy, thanks for the call. There is a calmness and a serenity to Rask's game. There's no question about it. The skating was – so let's hear it. We actually pulled the cut because Kevin Weeks, NHL Network analyst, was a longtime goalie in the NHL, 13 years. Was never really a star or really a starter. He was always sort of a
backup. Yeah.
Backup, played for like seven teams. Probably recognize him from the NHL Network stuff. But, boy, did he have a little Tuukka in his shorts or what?
Yep.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Play that cut.
Watching Tuukka now, watching and analyzing his game, he's always been elite. He's always been excellent. But I think this year, specifically in the postseason, before we even get to the postseason, I got to say that it was a masterstroke in bringing in Jaroslav Halak. Halak was great. And by bringing in Jaro Halak, that allowed Tuukka to kind of get some breathing time during the regular season. They didn't have to overextend him. And now, as a result, he looks fresh. Tuukka's fresh. His footwork is sublime. His skating is so on point right now. His ability to go from point A to B on his feet and in control and on balance. Then he can go into the save. One key thing for me is that same control that I just talked about. He's not flying all over the net. He's not sliding past his post. He's so controlled. He's so efficient. Economy of movement and motion. And honestly, in the Carolina series, I was saying to Rod Brindamore, who I played with, who's the Canes coach, and different players around the league, I was like, this guy... He's so dialed in. He was standing up and making saves. He looked like Andy Moog.
Yeah.
Or Reggie Lemelin for a lot of you Beast fans. So he had some throwback to him because he's so in control. When he gets to the spot on his skates, he's very patient.
His footwork was sublime.
No, yeah, footwork was sublime, yeah. You get Baryshnikov between the pipes there now for crying out loud. So, like, look, ultimately, the big thing you touched on this just now a second ago, the big thing is that he's... You say the calmness. He slowed it all down. Like, you can see him. He's just saying, don't overreact to everything. Just be where you're supposed to be, no matter how fast the game is moving. And he's letting the puck hit him 90% of the time. I mean, there have been some ridiculous saves in there, as we all know. But to me, you can see it, right? It's just, it's not moving too fast for him. And at times, that has happened to him, as it would with any player, but he's got it under control.
Still has one to go.
He does. He's got to get the next round. I mean, relatively speaking, where we were at the beginning of the playoffs with Tuukka versus where we are now, of course we all feel better about it. Yes. Where are we going to be at the end of this? Well, it depends where it goes in this round. If he has, let's just say he has a mediocre series, not a bad series, a mediocre series, but they lose.
No, he's toast.
It goes right back to where it was.
Absolutely.
It's like, well, and you can use the layoff, you can use whatever you want, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is he's been playing at an otherworldly level, and they've been winning. And if he were to regress and they regress, we're going to connect the two, whether it's right or not.
Of course. Until you win it, you don't get full credit. It's just, I don't know what... Why would you expect something different for him than you would for any other individual player or team?
You wouldn't. And the David Price analogy is the perfect analogy. Because if Price got to the World Series and then had mediocre performances and they lost, we would look at it and say, well, he still didn't get there.
Of course.
He still didn't get there. You got to get there. And so, you can say whatever you want about, in the big picture, the fairness of it or whatever, but the reality is, it is what it is. You've got to get the championship. That's the challenge. Four rounds, you got to see it through. That's what makes it hard.
Okay, it's Felger and Maz from FanFest here on Canal Street. If you're coming by and you see a big, giant bumblebee with a beard and a conductor's hat, what would you call that?
I don't know. This is almost like a revolutionary type hat, I believe.
It's
one of those little things.
If you're a war soldier.
If you're asking people to find people with this description at this point, there's nine of me right now. I've seen people wearing this shirt with this stupid bee. Everyone looks like me in this city.
It's a popular shirt. But that's Murray, the big bumblebee.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5. The Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Outside of the goaltending, how does St. Louis win this series if they win it?
The Bees' power play is absolutely toxic right now. It's that effective. You want to stay away. If you're the Blues, you got to play at even strength. You can't put the Bees on the power play. The Bees' power play is cooking at 34, almost 35%. That's unheard of, especially in the playoffs. So, number one, St. Louis has to play even up. They got to play even strength. Number two, they got to manage the puck. I just talked to Ryan O'Reilly, who's going to be going that head-to-head matchup against Patrice Bergeron. And Ryan just said, I asked him, I said, one key. He goes, we see we got to have short shifts, especially playing at Boston. The way the fans are going to be, we don't have last change. We got to make sure that those controllable parts of the game are important. I would also add for the Blues, puck management. This Bruins team can absolutely maim you. They can maul you if you turn the puck over. And the Blues are going to have to do a good job of managing the puck and playing the cycle game in the Bruins' defensive zone if they want to have a shot and give themselves the best shot.
All right, welcome back to Felger and Maz again. Bonus time here as we are broadcasting to you from the Star Market location at the Boston Sports Grill here on Canal Street in anticipation of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. You just heard Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network talking about the keys to win the series for both the Bruins and the Blues. And one of the big ones, Murray, as you heard him say there, was the penalty kill at the Bruins, or power play rather, power play time critical for the Bruins to win the series. The Bruins 34% on the power play thus far. St. Louis has been mediocre on the power play, 19.4%. That puts them ninth. I guess it's below average. I shouldn't even say mediocre. Puts them ninth among all playoff teams. Is there anything else you see in the series as critical of it? Because that one feels like an easy one.
Yeah. It's probably cliche at this point, but I do think that the X factor ultimately is Tuukka Rask. I really do. Like, Binnington, I think, is the leakier of the two, if you're just looking at the sample size of the postseason. But Rask, if he's to play at the level that he's been playing at, which I think that he's going to, I hope that he's going to, this layoff, I think, is probably going to factor in. I hope not too much. But if he plays to that level, the Bruins are going to win this series. So ultimately, I think Rask is the X factor more than anything else. That's...
So, look, we all have a lot of questions going into this game. And, again, we'll take you right up until 7 o'clock. We'll turn it over to Adam Jones, and then he'll take you up to you'll have Jones only for a half hour, so you don't have to endure too much negativity with Jones. He'll take you right up to pregame at 7:30, and then Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will have the only local broadcast of the Bruins right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They'll take you up until the drop of the puck, which is at about 8:23. Is that what we heard, Murray? 8:23.
Yeah, 8:23.
So, again, we're on Canal Street here, and I would be wrong to tell you that it's anything but a festive atmosphere and getting more festive by the minute, which means more intoxicating by the minute, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the power plays in this series, and I've said this, that one of my concerns is that we all agree that the Bruins are better on the power play. The Bruins are better on the penalty kill, too. Again, I'll give you those numbers specifically here. The Bruins have been the third-best penalty-killing team in the postseason. St. Louis is only 11th. So all the special teams numbers favor the Bruins except for this one. St. Louis has spent or has had the fewest penalty minutes per game of any team in the postseason. I mean, and that's no small thing. And wait till I tell you the numbers. That per game this postseason, the Blues, only 6 minutes and 18 seconds in penalties. Okay.
Oh, they're disciplined. They're a smart team is what it is.
So you know who the second most disciplined team is?
The Bruins?
The Bruins.
Yeah.
And really, Murray, it's virtually identical. There's not much of a difference there at all. Again, the Blues, 6 minutes, 18 seconds in penalties per game during the postseason. The Bruins, 6:21.
Yeah.
So there's a difference of 3 seconds there. And to put that in perspective, who do you think, forget about who, the team that averaged the most penalty minutes per game, who do you think that is? What do you think the number is?
Oh.
If the Blues had the fewest at 6:18, 6 minutes and 18 seconds in penalties per game.
What team had the most and what were the minutes?
Correct.
Probably 11?
18.
Wow, okay.
18:23 for the Calgary Flames. Vegas had the second most. They were at 16 minutes. Tampa Bay was the third most at 14 minutes. So you can see some of these teams are committing anywhere from 7, 8, 9 penalties a game. If you're going by every penalty being a 2-minute penalty. The Bruins and Blues, 3 each. 1 a period. That's it. That's what you're going to get. If this series goes along those lines, that each team is getting 3 power plays per game, I think that's an edge for the Blues. Okay, if the numbers are that low, very little special teams time in these games, I think that is a huge advantage for St. Louis. The officiating crew tonight tends to be a tighter officiating crew, meaning they call more penalties.
Yeah.
So if that gets to 8, 10 minutes in penalties per game, I feel like that's a huge edge for Boston.
Oh, yeah, no. The more minutes, obviously, it's going to benefit the Bruins because that power play has been lethal. And I've been looking here the last few minutes trying to find this because I felt like I saw it behind the ESPN paywall earlier today. Obviously, what the Bruins are doing on the power play during this run at close to 35% is great. But I read that it was like, it's historic. Like, in the last 30 years, there hasn't been a team that's gone on a cup run like this that it has a number that high on the power play. So, like, even if they only end up with a handful of minutes, which you feel like benefits the Blues, because that power play is so lethal, I still think the Bruins are going to be able to take advantage.
I mean, like, 35% is a ridiculous number. You know, it's 34% is what they're at right now. I mean, that's a ridiculous number for the Bruins. Earlier on today on the program, we had Eddie Olczyk of NBC Sports join the show. Obviously, he's going to be calling the games here in both Boston and St. Louis. Mike Milbury, for those of you who are interested in Mike, will be doing the game. We'll be doing commentary between periods in a studio set up in the building. Typically, I think where Nesson does between periods in the building is where Milbury will be. But we had Eddie Olczyk on earlier, and he offered a couple of thoughts on both the Blues defense core and online matchups. So you may want to watch in this series, particularly tonight in Game 1. So I'll tell you what, Jimmy Stewart, we'll start with that one if you would, because the matchups, as always, are a key to any series in any sport. And so we asked Eddie Olczyk about what types of matchups you may see, which ones would favor Boston, which ones would favor St. Louis, and here's what Eddie told us.
I would imagine in a perfect world, I think Bruce Cassidy would like to go ahead and get the Bergeron line against the Shen line.
Yep.
Tarasenko mentioned him a little bit earlier. But both of these coaches are not afraid to go ahead and play outside. They're not going to chase it. That's probably the best way. But they're not going to chase the matchups. Babcock in that first-round series, he's a guy that loves to chase it. Joel Quinville, now in Florida, was in Chicago. He loves to chase that game. Randy Carlyle, same type of guy. These guys, if it falls into, great. But you know what? You may see the fourth line out there against the Tarasenko line, or you may see the St. Louis fourth line with a guy like Alex Steen, a veteran guy, out there against the Bergeron line. End of games, end of periods, probably a little bit of a different story, Mike, but I think both coaches will certainly try to get the matchups they want. Probably, for me, more importantly, the D. Getting the D out there at the particular times you can, and it's much easier for Bruce Cassidy to be able to do that with the last line change here at home.
Okay, so this is something to watch tonight. Again, in the San Jose series, and you heard Eddie Olczyk talk about the forward matchups. But in the San Jose series, Colton Parayko, the defenseman for the Blues, was out there primarily against that first line for San Jose and had an absolutely monster series, had a huge bearing on the outcome of that series. And so he in all probability, would be paired up against the Bergeron line. In any case, here's what we're going to do. If you want to call before game one, 617-779-0985. Again, we are here on Canal Street. Jim Murray and myself will take it right up till 7 o'clock with Adam Jones. So if you want to get a thought in on the series, now is the time to do it. 617-779-0985. Eddie Olczyk also offered up what I thought was a relatively surprising assessment of the defensive core of the St. Louis Blues, something that I did not expect him to say and that I was unaware of. We'll tell you what that was when we come back.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill, sponsored by Bud Light, Felger, and Mass, on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Star Market booth, sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass on the only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports.
Here's Marchand over the line, left side, looking for Pastrnak. Deflected, they score!
What is he, 22, 23? It's a young guy that's still going through some of that maturity process and learning how to compete this time of year. He's got good players around him to help him through it. He's got the trust of his coaching staff, so we're going to allow him to play through it.
Near circle, Pastrnak, one-timer, out in front, they score! Pasternak's one-timer, knocked down by Bergeron, buried by Bergeron!
As you get older, you appreciate it even more, and you realize how hard it is to get to this point and to advance, and you got to be thankful. Obviously, you want to stay in the moment. And that's the biggest thing, you know. Right now, we're going to appreciate this tonight, but then it's back to work, and there's a lot of work in front of us.
Bruins drive it up the middle. Here's Marchand. He'll wheel over the line, another slot, shoots. He scores! Everybody on the top line's got a cookie tonight. Brad Marchand with the empty netter. The Boston Bruins have a 4-0 lead here in Carolina.
when you play in this league for a long time, you start to appreciate and understand how hard it is to win and how few opportunities you get to really to win that cup. So, you know, we have an opportunity to play for it here this year.
So there you go, first line of the Bruins. They will obviously be critical in this series, but at the end of the day, you don't win cups because of one line. You don't win championships because of one player in any sport or one small collection of players. You win them because of the group. I want to get to that Blues D-core because that is the strength of that team. But before we do that, you know what? Let me ask Jim Murray, because Murray, you know what? You have a lifetime of experience in radio.
Sure.
Like there are radio people who do sports. And there are sports people who do radio.
Yep.
Like, I'm the latter.
Sure.
Right? Because I'm from the newspaper business.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's 6:53.
Yeah.
On the night of Game 1 of the Cup Finals. We've had a rocky go of it with the calls. What do you think? Should we take one more?
Yeah, what the hell at this point?
All right.
Let it ride.
Yeah, fine. Let's go ahead and do that. It's Gertie in Chestnut Hill. Gertie, you there? Gertie.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you got, Gertie?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here in my car with my two kids who are terrific hockey players, and we're debating the first line turnaround right now. And we've concluded it's going to continue on because Bergeron and Marchand are going to mentor Pasternak in the show in the Stanley Cup, and they're going to bring it home.
Okay, so look, again, I don't know what his logic was for the performance of the first line continuing it, but I said this last week, and I do believe it. Pasternak doesn't have a cup, okay? So Pasternak is playing for his first championship, but in some ways, Murray, I think the cup means more to Bergeron, Marchand, even Krejci and Chara, and those are really, along with Rask, those are the holdovers, and Rask wasn't a starter in 2011 when the Bruins won the first time. But those other guys...
Yeah, those are, I mean, look, obviously at this point, Pasternak's a veteran, but like the established guys, the guys that were there in 11 and 13, they know what's at stake here.
I mean, that second championship makes all the difference.
You played the clip earlier of Marchand just yesterday at Media Day talking about that he still feels the pain of 2013. So obviously they know he knows that this might be his last chance here in terms of, you know, if you look at their age and the beating that these guys have taken early to mid 30s, like this is probably it. They know. Those guys, Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci to some extent as well, Rask as well, I think that they realize, like, this might be it, guys. Like, you know, so.
Well, the other thing is, you know, as we define their legacy and you look at it and you say, well, these guys have gone to 3 cups in 9 years now. I mean, the Penguins did that and the Blackhawks did that. Both of those teams won all three. In the case of the Bruins, the best they can do is 2-1, but they can do 2-1. Knowing that the loss is against Chicago.
Sure.
Right? And I just think that, you know, you win 2 titles. There's nothing fluky about that. If they lose this cup, we say, well, they went to 3. They only won 1. But they, you know, they went to 3 of them. They go to 3 and win 2. I think it totally changes the narrative on their era. I want to get to Eddie Olczyk because he talked about the St. Louis D-Core and said something today that I didn't really necessarily know or understand. About the mobility of those St. Louis defensemen, here's what Eddie said.
Wait. So you think St. Louis is D's mobile? They're massive, but they're
very
mobile.
Very mobile. They got some big bodies. Petrangelo, I didn't even mention him. He's the captain. He jumps into play as well. They're big. They're mobile. They're not afraid to pinch in and take position. They're like both sides, as I said earlier. Both these teams, I think when they look at themselves in the mirror, wouldn't be surprised if the Blues look and all of a sudden you see the Bruin logo flash in front of you. And then when the Bruins do it, a blue note goes in front of you because they are very similar. The wingers on both sides are going to have to do a hell of a job along the wall and make sure that they get pucks out because they're going to have somebody in their back pocket a lot because I think both teams like to take position.
So, look, I just the mobility of the Blues D is not something that I necessarily understood. And there's a difference between straight-ahead speed and mobility and the ability to... You know, the agility of the skaters, and maybe the Bruins can exploit some of that with the Blues. But I do wonder if maybe if St. Louis is more mobile back there than I thought, Murray, that could be a problem.
Yeah, and I don't think, look, you might get rebounds, but getting to them, I don't think you're going to see the Bruins getting the rebounds like they did against Carolina Hurricanes in the prior series. And with Eddie Olczyk saying that both these teams can look in the mirror and they can see each other, I think that also includes the intangibles, because one of the things that it really has been my favorite thing about this Bruins team this whole season has been the resiliency, right? Like, even with dealing with major injuries and Tuukka Rask essentially going on that sabbatical in November, they've battled through a lot of stuff. The Blues have as well, at least from what I've seen in the postseason, because I would have thought that they would have been absolutely cooked when they got hosed on that hand pass in the Western Conference Finals. They ended up outscoring San Jose 12-2. After that happened.
Yeah, they won the next three.
And Binnington lost his composure. He's yelling at the refs. Like, I was like, oh, well, they're cooked. And the complete opposite happened. So they, too, kind of have that resiliency thing that the Bruins have.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, so we have been broadcasting to you here from our Star Market studio at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street, where the Fan Fest is going on in anticipation of Game 1. Back at our studio in Dorchester is Adam Jones, who will be on the air for the next half hour right up until Bruins pregame. Pac-Man, what are you and Christian going to get into?
Oh boy, can you feel it back here? I can feel the electricity all the way back here in Dorchester. I'll tell you what, Tony, the NHL, they should space these games out a little bit more. I feel like this really snuck up on me. You know, it's a long weekend. I feel like people didn't quite have it on their radar. So maybe they should have waited to start this on Tuesday or Wednesday. Real quick, anybody out there listening, a half hour from now, I will be a part of the pregame show with Judd and Bob. We're going to be taking your phone calls, so you guys can get in line early and often if you have some questions for the play-by-play crew. In the meantime, you're going to have Arcand and myself. We'll give you all our final thoughts before handing off to Game 1 of this series after 11 days of breaking down rust, breaking down rest, and looking ahead to Game 1. So we're real excited to do it, yes.
Oh, so there you go. Bruins fans are doing cartwheels knowing that you're part of the pregame show.
Yes, extended. I will be on for more than a half an hour, unfortunately, for everyone out there. I won't be there the entire pregame show. But certainly the beginning of it with some phone calls.
Okay, and I don't need to remind everyone that we are your only local broadcast of the Stanley Cup Finals right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.